Friends, I've got some news to share with you today that you will not believe. And we're also doing a special edition of You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers right here today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm really serious. When I say I've got some news to share with you, you're not going to believe. Everyone just try out the motion of shaking your head in disbelief. And, oh, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, we've got some of that news to share with you today on The Line of Fire. And I decided to take some extra calls carrying over from Friday and catching up on some e-questions. So we're going to do this today, even though it's Monday. We normally do it on Friday, but you've got questions, we've got answers. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I posted earlier today an article on townhall.com, and it's for those in particular who do not want to see Mr. Obama reelected, but are not happy with Mr. Romney as a choice to replace him. The article is called, Do You Support Anyone But Obama? And I raise some serious, interesting questions. I'll get into that later in the show as well. Always from a kingdom perspective, not primarily a political perspective. So anything I talk about, any news item I bring up that you want to weigh in on, of course you can, as always. But in particular, any question you have that relates to any area of expertise I have or any areas that we cover at all, on The Line of Fire, go for it, no matter how random it is. And if there's some controversy heating up in your church or some disagreement, you hear this one preaching and that one preaching, you don't have to mention names. Just tell us what the issue is there, and then we can talk very, very freely. Had a wonderful weekend in New Jersey this past weekend at Beth Israel Congregation, which was led by my dear friend Jonathan Kahn. We had some great fellowship together as well. And I want to tell you seriously, all of you that are listening, that were there with me this weekend, Friday night, Sunday morning. Many of you I spoke with before and after the service. I seriously, honestly, from the heart want to tell you, I was so blessed to hear your kind words about the Line of Fire broadcast. And folks listening in every different setting, whether you are working in the main building there at Beth Israel and the show is now on during the day, hey guys, work well, honor the Lord. What an amazing building with an amazing message in it. If you've never seen it, go visit one Friday night, Sunday morning. Check out the building. You'll be amazed. What scriptural messages, just beautifully done. And whether you are the postman that I spoke with, and I'm in your ear right now as you're delivering mail, or the courier that I spoke with, just drive carefully if you're on a bike, wherever you are, or the construction worker, and maybe you tune this on for the guys that work. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You guys right there in that construction site, you need to listen to this show. Because I know something you need to know. Ah, a school teacher I spoke with, part of a prayer group, or a nurse in the school, part of a prayer group that prays every morning for your public school. So many of you I spoke with, so many words of encouragement. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Okay, here's something interesting in the news. Part of the hypocrisy or double standard of our society, Daily News reports, man charged, New York Daily News, man charged with trying to kill fetus by stomping on girlfriend's stomach. So according to the reports, Kenneth L. Turner, 28, this is from Minnesota, kicked, punched, and choked his on-again, off-again girlfriend in her apartment during a three-hour attack Friday, at one point ordering her to lie on her back before stomping on her stomach with both feet. This is reported in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And he said she didn't deserve the baby. Well, she suffered some injuries, but the baby survived. So he's being charged with first-degree attempted murder of an unborn child and domestic assault. Hang on. How in the world can this be first-degree attempted murder? Oh, it should be. It should be. First-degree attempted murder of an unborn child, whereas we kill over a million, quote, legally, intentionally, purposefully, in the womb every year. How in the world? Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The phone lines are open. We're doing a special edition of You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. We normally do it on Friday. We're doing it on Monday. It's my show, and I can do it. Isn't that neat? Well, it's my show under the Lord. I felt liberty to do it before the Lord. Maybe even that the Lord wanted me to do it. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Just to finish off my comments on the arrest of a 28-year-old man in Minnesota for allegedly attacking his on-and-off girlfriend, 2 months pregnant, trying to kill the baby in her womb, saying she didn't deserve it. He is being charged with attempted first-degree murder of the unborn child, as well as an assault on the girlfriend. I think it's right and correct. He was trying to kill the baby in the womb. But if it's actually a life, if it's actually recognized as a human life, if it is recognized as a human life and potential, whatever it is, so that there can be a criminal charge brought, how can it be legal to kill millions of babies in the womb like we've done in recent decades? How can that be? Either it's a child or it's not. Either it's a life or it's not. So I am glad that that's the case. I agree with it. He should be sentenced. If guilty, he should be sentenced. It's right for him to be charged. But is there not a little inconsistency there? 866-34-TRUTH. Got this note in from Debbie. Can I share this with you? The title, the subject says, Delivered from Homosexuality. She says, I've read your book, A Queer Thing Happened in America. It's actually A Queer Thing Happened to America, and found it very informative and accurate. Most of my adult life, I lived a lesbian lifestyle. And while attending a gay church, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, opened my heart, ears, and eyes to hear the truth. Now, can I just jump in for a minute? Isn't that amazing? In a gay church, and Jesus, through the Spirit, opens her eyes to the truth, and therefore she leaves the lesbian lifestyle she was in. She said, thank you for courageously proclaiming the truth of the gospel to a group of people who so desperately need compassionate, praying, and loving Christians to shine light on the sin of homosexuality. Debbie, may the Lord bless you, smile on you, and use you to touch many of your old friends, those that you're in relationship with, those that you're associated with. May the Lord use you to bring hope and life and transformation to them. Thank you so much for that very gracious word. And just a new review on Amazon from a Jewish gentleman named Dennis, who, well, I've known of Dennis for years now as a Jewish seeker, a Jewish believer. And he just posted this on our Amazon page, amazon.com, for the new book, The Real Kosher Jesus, my newest book. After reading many of Dr. Brown's books, this one, The Real Kosher Jesus, has had the biggest impact on how I see Yeshua. Not only is it eye-opening, but you will, like me, know for sure not only the Jewishness of Yeshua, but that only he can be our Messiah. Be prepared. You will read it more than once. It is that wonderful, and there is information in this book that I'm sure you didn't realize. Everything is backed up by Scripture, not only in the New Covenant, but in the Hebrew Scriptures. Great work, Dr. Brown. I am so blessed and encouraged to hear. In fact, Dennis read the book in one night. Just sharing some good reports with you. And as Monday, we have our musings, catch up on different things. I do have some wild news. Wild news. Can I say wild news? Outrageous news from what country? Take a guess. It's in Scandinavia, Sweden. Yes, Sweden. I'm going to get into that shortly. I'm going to answer some e-questions and take your calls as well. But when I spoke at Beth Israel, someone gave me this over the weekend. I want to share it with you. They just gave it to me to read, but I like it. I want to share it with you. It's called Salted Cod. When I was in the supermarket the other day, I saw something that looked a little strange to me. Over by the seafood department, there was a bin with stiff white planks of some sort. When I got closer, I could see that these were salted fillets of cod. Here was fish with no wrapper and no refrigeration. The fish was dry and as stiff as a board. For all I could tell, the fish could have been days, weeks, or even months old. But if you were to take it home and soak it in some fresh water, you would end up with a tasty meal. Of course, if you were to leave a fresh fillet a fish out on the counter at room temperature, it would quickly start to smell. Soon it would begin to rot, and eventually you'd end up with a putrid mess. What could have stopped that decay? Salt. Jesus tells us that we are the salt of the earth. We look at our world, our culture, and we see decay and rot. Sometimes we wonder how things could get so bad so quickly. Could it be that the salt has lost its saltiness? You can't blame a piece of fish for rotting. It's just what dead fish do. The difference between the spoiled fillet and the preserved one is a lack of salt. To preserve a piece of fish, you don't just sprinkle a little salt on the top. You need to immerse the fillet in salt so that the salt is absorbed into every fiber of the meat until the very nature of the fillet has been changed. Christians are called to be the salt of the earth. As such, we can't blame a fallen culture for continuing to fall further and further from God. Left on its own, that is just what the culture is going to do. If Christians are going to be salt, then we need to bring God's love, God's mercy, and God's word into every fiber of our culture and nation. We can't just sprinkle a little Jesus on top. We need to make our Messiah part of everything we do. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." There is no place and no person that is off limits to God. That means that there is no place and no person that is off limits to sharing the gospel. We can and must bring Jesus into every facet of our society. America today is like a maggot-filled piece of rotting fish flesh. If you would prefer bacala, then get out your salt and immerse your nation in it. And it's by sharing the gospel, friends. It's by living out the gospel. It's by holding fast to our convictions in an unashamed way. It's by living out our moral values. People say separation of church and state. Remember what that means is that the state cannot impose a state religion. This is the religion of America. We are all Catholic. We are all Presbyterian. No. The state cannot do that. And the state has to stay out of the church's business. That's basically what separation of church and state means. But we must, as followers of Jesus, spread the influence of the gospel in every area of society, unashamedly, as his followers. Amen? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I get to the news from Sweden and some of your e-questions, let's go to the phones. Brian in Bowie, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you a question in regards to President Obama basically being reelected versus Mitt Romney's election. If we basically are Christians, why would we... President Obama first claims that he is a Christian, and we basically say that if he's a Christian, then why would we vote for Mitt Romney, who's a Mormon, in which he serves a different religion in regards to our Christianity?
Brian, it's an excellent question to ask. My simple response would be this. I am not voting for a candidate primarily based on their profession of faith. I'm voting for the candidate primarily based on the convictions they live by, their character, and the stands that they'll take. Now, hopefully, if they're committed followers of Jesus, then they'll be strong on the issues that I believe are most important for America and most important in the sight of God. But most all of our candidates, I remember when it was Gore versus Bush, and now they're both sharing their testimonies and background. Now, God knows their hearts and their lives. I'm not disparaging the men. I'm simply saying when it's time to run, everyone's so Christian. Bill Clinton's, you know, speaking in the black churches, and these other, you know, evangelical Republicans, they're appealing to the white evangelicals. And, you know, everybody's making their Christian appeal and saying they're Christian, but really the proof of the pudding is in the eating. We'll know the tree by the fruit. And if I had a choice between a man who professed to be an evangelical, professed to be a follower of Jesus, born again, and I did not see the moral evidence in that person's life, and I saw that he held to all different views on the fundamental moral, cultural, social issues that I held to, and someone else did not claim to be born again, but was absolutely firm by conviction, say on pro-life, absolutely firm by conviction on marriage issues, absolutely firm by conviction on standing with Israel and things, I'd be more prone to vote for that other candidate. In this case, I have concerns about both the religious views of Mr. Obama and Mr. Romney and their moral views, as well as how they would govern. So it's a big question to me.
But my question is, when I'm looking at Romans 13 in regards to that even the person that we basically put into office, God's ruling everything. We know that God has basically gave us a choice to basically vote for in regards to who to vote for and who to put in office as humans. But my thing is that we always make an assumption in regards to that the abortion person, the person for pro-life, is always more Christian than a person who is for pro-choice. And I think if people really understood the understanding of the... Are you going to a break?
Yeah, I got to jump in. But hey, Brian, thanks for calling and thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. Sorry, I got to run. God bless you, man.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. Are you ready? I said I got some news you're not going to believe, and I'm going to share it with you. 866-34-TRUTH. You can feel free to comment on this news story or any question you have. We're doing what we normally do on Friday. You've got questions, we've got answers. We're just doing an extra day here on Monday. I'm going to get to some interesting e-questions in a moment, Michael Brown. Thank you for joining us, 866-348-7884. Okay. When I was doing research and writing for A Queer Thing Happened to America, I began to realize more and more clearly that gender itself was considered the enemy. This binding, binary system, as they would call it, activists against gender, you might say, male and female, getting boxed into being either male or either female. And some people just don't fit in that. Well, it's one thing to have compassion on those who struggle with their gender identity. It's another thing to try to restructure society so as to undo male and female. See, nobody wants to undo. Oh, there are people who do. And it's becoming an increasingly vocal tiny minority who do, with increasing influence. And I document it in depth. I have books on titled Undoing Gender or Bending Gender or Blending Gender or How to Multiply Gender Exponentially. I kid you not. So from Sweden, yes, there's been a report that they have a new gender-neutral pronoun, hen, H-E-N. So here's an article from Slate, from April 11th, brought to my attention a few days ago. By most people's standards, Sweden is a paradise for liberated women. It has the highest proportion of working women in the world, and women earn about 2/3 of all degrees. Standard parental leave runs at 480 days, and 60 of those days are reserved exclusively for dads, causing some to credit the country with forging the way for a new kind of nurturing masculinity. In 2010, the World Economic Forum designated Sweden as the most gender-equal country in the world. But for many Swedes, gender equality is not enough. Many are pushing for the Nordic nation to be not simply gender equal, but gender neutral. The idea is that the government and society should tolerate no distinctions at all between the sexes. This means on the narrow level that society should show sensitivity to people who don't identify themselves as either male or female, including allowing any type of couple to marry. But that's the least radical part of the project. What many gender-neutral activists are after is a society that entirely erases traditional gender roles and stereotypes at even the most mundane levels. Activists are lobbying for parents to be able to choose any name for their children. There are currently just 170 legally recognized unisex names in Sweden. The idea is that names should not be at all tied to gender. So it would be acceptable for parents to say name a girl Jack or a boy Lisa. I'm just interrupting the article here. Why? Why in the world would anyone want to do this? This is insanity. You can term it however you want. You can argue whatever you want. This is insanity. This is a fundamental assault on the fundamental nature of human beings. God created us male and female. To the article, A Swedish children's clothes company has removed the boys and girls section in its stores. And the idea of dressing children in a gender-neutral manner has been widely discussed on parenting blogs. The Swedish toy catalog recently decided to switch things around. I'm looking at the picture showing a boy in a Spider-Man costume pushing a pink pram. Well, it's a little stroller. While a girl in denim rides a yellow tractor. The Swedish Bowling Association has announced plans to merge male and female bowling tournaments in order to make the sport gender neutral. Social Democrat politicians have proposed installing gender neutral restrooms so that the members of the public will not be compelled to categorize themselves as either ladies or gents. Several preschools have banished references to pupils' genders, instead referring to children by their first names or as buddies. Well, this is happening in the States, too. So a teacher would say, good morning, buddies, or good morning, Lisa, Tom, and Jack, rather than good morning, boys and girls. I'm sorry to be so expressive reading this, but this is pathetic. This is tragic. They believe this fulfills the National Curriculum's guideline that preschools should counteract traditional gender patterns and gender roles. This is the National Curriculum's guideline that preschools should counteract traditional gender patterns and gender roles and give girls and boys the same opportunities to test and develop abilities and interests without being limited by stereotypical gender roles. Early this month, the movement for gender neutrality reached a milestone just days after International Women's Day. A new pronoun, hen, pronounced like the bird in English, was added to the online version of the country's national encyclopedia. The entry defines hen as a proposed gender-neutral personal pronoun instead of he, which is han in Swedish, and she, which is han. The National Encyclopedia announcement came amid a heated debate about gender neutrality that has been raging in Swedish newspaper columns and TV studios and on parenting blogs and feminist websites. It was sparked by the publication of Sweden's first ever gender-neutral children's book. It tells the story of Kivi, who wants a dog for Hen's birthday. The male author, Jesper Lundqvist, introduces several gender-neutral words in the book. For instance, the words mama and papa, moms and dads, are replaced with new words that he has come up with. Oh, friends, coming to America, on its way to America, unless we stand up, do what's right, speak sanity, speak clarity. Friends, it's my goal on the radio every day of the week, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, to be a voice of moral clarity, moral sanity and spiritual clarity, to be a voice that helps cut through the fog and the darkness and the mist and the confusion. Speaking of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, one of the most important passages in all of the Bible is Isaiah 53. And it is recognizably the most and arguably the most important messianic prophecy in the entire Hebrew Bible. Yet many of my dear Jewish friends don't see it as messianic prophecy or referring to Jesus. And many Christians are not aware of the depth of that passage. Well, I was part of a four-part show, 2 hours plus another half-hour bonus material, devoted to Isaiah 53 with three other top biblical scholars, Dr. Walter Kaiser, Dr. Daryl Bach, Dr. Michael Downlick, the four of us talking for 2 hours, plus another 30 minutes on historical and archaeological background, on a DVD put out by the Day of Discovery, and we now have that DVD to make available to you, the Isaiah 53 DVD, 2.5 hours of material, $17 postage paid. Come on, that's a deal. $17 postage paid, 2.5 hours, the four of us talking these issues through live footage from Israel. It's an amazing, wonderful resource. $17 postage paid. Call to order now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or order online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Friends, stand strong for what is true, for what is right. Do not back down.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, according to Kaj Weberg, whoever the name is pronounced, the CEO of Lecklust, the company behind a new toy catalog, which is reversing gender roles within the toy catalogs. You've got a picture of a little boy dressed as Spider-Man who's pushing a stroller, and a girl riding a toy racing car, and another boy standing in front of a toy stove cooking a make-believe meal. According to the CEO of the company behind the catalog, gender roles are an outdated thing. Yeah, just women being women, men being men, moms being moms, dad being dad. Yeah, I guess it's outdated. Yeah. Gender roles are an outdated thing, he said. I'm 71 years old, and those of us who have worked in this industry for a while know that boys play with dollhouses. We know that boys can play with Barbie dolls. Well, boys can play with anything, and girls can play with anything, but boys are boys, and girls are girls, and they are different. They're designed to be different. They're intended to be different. And even though you may have tomboys and tomboy girls and boys who are real sensitive and things like that, boys are still boys, and girls are still girls. Oh, I mean, I don't know whether to laugh or cry when I read these kinds of things. It's a good thing to know that Jesus is Lord and that while the world is going crazy, God rules and reigns. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. You've got questions. We've got answers. We're doing that on Monday as well as on Friday. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, but here's a blog spot called Gender Queer View. And there's a 30-day genderqueer challenge. Okay, there's a 30-day genderqueer challenge. Well, someone writes in, I'll take that challenge. The first day's challenge is, do you use any other terms to define or explain your gender? Yes, I do. Both androgyne, androgyne, and gender fluid. Androgyne, because though I'm more female than male, I'm still a mixture of both. If I could, I would present as an androgynous femme person. Gender fluid because where I'm in the gender cloud varies from day to day. I may be a stone femme woman one day, a butch androgyne the next. My gender is complex, and I'm having great fun exploring it. Posted by Natasha. Natasha needs help, friends. Natasha needs help. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Edith in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, Edith, you're on the air.
Oh, how are you today, Michael?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Good. I just want to bring up two things. One is in regards to the Mormon Church, and you know that's a very complicated, I would say, cult, because it's defined as a cult. And so how do we know, you spoke to a young man before, this Mormonism disbelieves the core doctrines like the role of Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer of us all, and His role now here on Earth. So, if Mormonism denies Jesus Christ, and there's some other religion that does not deny Jesus Christ, how can the Christians of this United States of America justify making a choice between Christianity, which is a religion, or a way of life, and Mormonism, which is a cult?
Yeah, well, Edith, of course it's
important. I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
All right, sounds good. So to answer the question, number one, when we're voting for president, we're not voting for their religious faith alone. We're voting for the person, who the person is, how they would govern. And those give me greater concerns with Mr. Romney than does his Mormonism. Now, the other thing I would say is that there are Mormons who are moving more towards an Orthodox view of Jesus. And perhaps the Lord is capturing some of their hearts. But yes, Mormonism is complicated. And yes, if the presidency would be used to promote Mormonism, that would give me grave concern.
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, one of the best things you can do, one of the most painless things you can do, is tell other folks about The Line of Fire. It won't cost you anything to do that. Call them, tweet them, Facebook them, email them, text them. Tell them to listen in. We are here daily for you, trying to make every minute count for the glory of the Lord. Thank you, so many of you, for your encouraging words over the weekend at Beth Israel and the notes that are sent to us and emails we receive. Thank you so much. We are really trying to honor the Lord. I really want every minute to count on every show and take them seriously, whether I'm reading you some outrageous news report, whether I'm sharing some funny thing that happened with our family, whether we're opening the Word together. I really want every minute to count, and the goal is that you can be impacted to go and impact your world. 866-34-TRUTH. A question from Jason. I was wondering what your views are of Pelagius and the Pelagian view of rejecting the sin nature and the idea that the Christian must sin. What objections would you have to him, if any? Pelagius, early church leader. My objection would be that the system that comes out from Pelagius, especially in its more exaggerated forms, does not recognize the hopelessness of a human being to save himself or herself. Now, I have Calvinist friends that would brand someone like Charles Finney a Pelagian, and I categorically disagree with that, having read his writings as well. But anything that would give someone the idea that they could be saved in any way by their effort, by their works, as opposed to by God's grace, would concern me. And so to recognize that we are fundamentally fallen human beings in need of mercy and help, that we're in a 1,000-foot pit, and with 100 years of our best efforts, we cannot pull ourselves out of that pit, that's very important for people to understand. Now, I do believe God throws the rope down and makes it in such a way that it wraps right around us, and we can refuse it or we can receive it. We can receive grace. We can reject grace. Absolutely. That's clear to me in Scripture. But that being said, I have issues with the extreme form in which things would have been presented by Pelagius. That being said, I've read more Scripture and Jewish-related things and things prior to the days of Pelagius than I've read some of the church writings as well. So I'm not an expert on the writings of Pelagius, and if someone wants to challenge me and say I didn't represent him accurately, feel free to do so. I do recognize when charges are being brought against people and they're called Pelagian and what that means and where I accept it and where I reject it. As the idea that Christians must sin, every day of your life, it's certainly possible for you to live with purity and in holiness. I don't wake up at the beginning of the day assuming, well, I'm going to sin today. But I do understand that human nature being what it is, the fact that we are still in these bodies, the fact that our minds are not completely renewed, the fact that we're still in a sinning world and that there's still a devil tempting, I understand that I'm going to need cleansing through the day, even for unconscious ways where I fall short. And if you realize the command is to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, and my neighbor as myself, any way I fall short of that, even for a split second in the day, is a shortfalling, is a sin of some kind that needs cleansing, washing. Thankfully, as we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's an ongoing cleansing as we walk in the light. When we're aware of our sin, we turn from it, ask forgiveness, and receive it, and move forward. 866-34-TRUTH. Emerson in Beaumont, Texas, thanks for calling The Line to Fire.
Dr. Brown, I really appreciate your show. I appreciate it so much because I grew up a Jehovah's Witness for 17 years, but wow. I really appreciate your show.
Well, thank you, sir.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, one of the things that you just spoke about as far as being sinning and continuing sin, I understand that's in a present tense, that that's a continual cleansing. My question is this, with faith, the problem that I run into today with faith is that people don't give the full definition of faith. According to the definition, it has substance and evidence. You know, and I look in the original language, it has substance and evidence, but they don't talk about the evidence. I believe that evidence, like it says in Hebrews 5 and 9, is obedience. Well, obedience would be shown also by love. But that's one of the things that we lack today. We don't have any love for God or love for people. So the question is, when people say that they that they can do whatever they want to do. They can still go in. Is it a difference between practicing sin and continuing and trying to repent and repenting for what you're doing? But that's what we see in a lot of, and I see this in a lot of our leaders today, that they continue to say that everybody's okay. You could do whatever you want to do, and you still gain eternal life. But that goes directly opposite of what the scriptures say.
Yeah, true faith is not just saying words. True faith is not just making a profession. True faith is truly putting our faith in the living God, and in this case, to save us, to redeem us, to cleanse us, to give us new life. So how do you know if true faith is at work? Well, it's just like if you've got a good electrical connection and the bulb is working in the light, you know it's working when you plug the thing in and the light comes on. There are results. It's not a matter of being saved by works. It's a matter of works being the evidence of faith. So James, Jacob, the second chapter, says that. Show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. So a changed life, a new life, a life of obedience to God, a life with a desire to please God, a life that turns away from wrong and evil when it falls short and turns back to God, that's the evidence of being a believer. So it was James Edwin Orr that I heard this from, the great revival scholar of the last generation. He said the only proof of the new birth is the new life. And it's one thing, Emerson, to encourage people that God is merciful and kind. Some people are very self-condemning. You know, they think the slightest wrong thought, they think God hates them or is angry with them. And it's so important for people to know the grace and goodness and love of God. At the same time, we have gone to such an extreme. We don't want to tell people the truth. We don't want to make people uncomfortable. We don't want to confront. We just want to give a pep talk every week and think that's the gospel, pep talk Christianity. And we're not helping anyone. We're not helping anyone. Just like a doctor who tells sick patients you're going to be fine, he's not helping those patients. We speak the truth in love, and we help people experience real new birth, new life in the Lord. And again, I've encouraged people that say, you know, I watched trash last night. I'm so sorry. I turned it off. I repented. I want to please the Lord. And I said, hey, the reason you didn't watch all night is because you're not who you used to be. The reason you're grieved over it is because you are changed. Now let's live that thing out. There's got to be some fruit, some proof, and repentance, turning to the Lord, being convicted, living a new life, got to be. Hey, Emerson, thank you for the call, and thank God for your own testimony. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Edward, I want to get to your question in a little while, but I want to make sure I have time for it. So stay right there, Edward. Bruce in Quincy, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, this is Bruce.
Yes, Bruce, go ahead, please. Need you to speak up, sir.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Yeah.
Hey.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, on the gender neutrality issue, transgenderism is actually self-stereotyping. The person stereotyping their own gender, and it's, gender discrimination. Instead of, you know, just being happy with who they are, even if they feel like there's two genders, they're, you know, discriminating and stereotyping what they see as one gender and, you know, discriminating against it. And also in homosexuality, that's the gender-exclusive orientation. One man, one woman is actually diversity of the sexes, correct?
Right, there is diversity there. And you know, Bruce, so, it's, just to jump in, when you mentioned the stereotyping thing, look, my heart goes out to people who struggle in these ways and are confused, and a guy thinks he's trapped in a woman's body. But then what often happens is they become the caricature of what the norm would be. So a boy who thinks he's a girl trapped in a boy's body ends up stereotyping what a girl is and what a girl does and becoming exaggerated in those ways. I mean, the whole thing just needs help and mercy from God and is so terribly confused. And,
right,
you know,
so
if, go ahead.
That's where the stereotyping is. It's in, yeah. You know, having different roles, it just makes sense. But they're doing this because of transgenderism and homosexuality, yet both of them are gender discrimination. You know, for if a white person said, look, I have the same race, you know, orientation or racial preference, you know, they wouldn't, that would be wrong. But, you know, for men to say, you know, I'm a man and I'm, you know, in a gender, I have a gender exclusive orientation or preference that always excludes women when it comes to love. You know, what kind of love is that? It's basically gender bigotry, homosexuality. And sure, we need to feel compassion for these folks, but it's basically gender bigotry and stereotyping that causes these people to be the way they are.
All right. Hey, Bruce, we've got to run, but thank you, sir, for weighing in. And look, let me say what I always say. Pray that God would give you a heart of compassion for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and that God would even use you to touch their lives so that they can find wholeness, repentance, transformation, faith, whatever it is they need to rightly connect with God and be whom God has made them to be.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, when you get a moment, go to townhall.com, townhall.com, and read my article. Do you support anyone but Obama? I think you'll find it a very interesting read and coming from some unusual angles, especially on a conservative website. Do you support anyone but Obama? On townhall.com, 866-34-TRUTH. Edward in Windermere, Florida, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
And thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. First, before I pose my question, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time and writing such terrific books. It seems like once a week now I receive a new publication in the mail from your ministry, and inevitably, once I pick it up, I can't put it down. And in fact, Saturday I read your most recent publication, The Real Coast for Jesus, and it was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And I sincerely thank you for taking the time and the effort to put these terrific books out there for folks like myself.
Well, Edward, thank you for the kind words. It's my great joy and pleasure to do that. And thanks for the good word on The Real Kosher Jesus. If you get a minute, you can post like a one-paragraph review on Amazon.com and let other potential readers know about it. But thanks for the kind words, and I consider it a privilege to be able to write these books. All right, to your question, sir.
Well, my question is, unfortunately, today in our church, we had a funeral was held for our music director, and he was 43 years young, left behind a wife and two children. And my question is, and I know it's coming up, it will come up any time now, my 10-year-old son, I'm expecting him to ask me, why weren't our prayers answered? Why is it that it seems that, and of course we were all praying that Eric's life would be spared.
Of course.
But unfortunately, the Lord took him Thursday. In any event, I would hate for my son to walk away from this thinking, well, you know, when you send out prayers, it's a roll of the dice. Is there something you can suggest to help me with this and dealing with this inevitable question I know that's going to come up?
Yeah, Edward, when I saw the question on my screen here, I wanted to wait and not rush, at least give me a few minutes to try to respond. Honestly, questions like this are far more difficult than the questions I tackle in my apologetics books or in my debates, to be honest with you. And you have a real delicate thing going on here with your kids because you don't want to give them some cheap answer. On the other hand, how much can they receive or understand? I remember when one of our grandsons, we got four grandkids, two girls, two boys, our younger grandson, Connor, was praying with his mom and dad and praying for someone to be healed. And then he said, well, oh, Jesus doesn't have enough hands to touch everybody right now. And that was like satisfactory for him, you know. But we have to be very careful with what we say. So, for example, I would not tell your 10-year-old, well, God answered by taking him home, or God had a reason for taking him home. Now, if that's your conviction, if that's your theology, and you believe that, that God chose not to heal him, God chose to take him home, then of course you could say that. I don't know. Is your radio on, Edward, in the back? I'm just hearing a little
no,
echo
sir.
Here.
It's not.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, so if it's your theology that God chose not to heal him, God chose to take him home, then you just have to say that he's in heaven and he's going to be with Jesus forever, and God has his reasons for doing things. But if that's not your theology, you're not sure, what you have to say is, you know, sometimes mommy and daddy respond a certain way, and you don't understand why, and you would like them to do this or do that, but they have their reasons. There are a lot of things we don't understand, and we know God is absolutely faithful, God is absolutely trustworthy, and if we'll pray and you watch over the years, if you keep praying, you'll be amazed at the things that God doesn't answer. Sometimes in this world, we don't get all the answers. We don't always know why. I would absolutely say we don't always know why, but we know he's with the Lord, he's alive, he's enjoying the Lord right now, and pretty soon we're all going to get to be with him and be with the Lord forever. And just say, sometimes we don't understand why we don't get answers. I would rather say that than come up with something that I'm not sure about. So my own view would be that I don't say that, well, God chose not to heal him, God took him home. I'd say, I don't know why. And in fact, we have no idea. We literally have no idea what happened or why. We have no idea what went on behind the scenes. We have no idea where faith was exercised. We just don't know. And you really have to present it. If you can ever think of something where at the moment, any illustration, where at the moment it looked like someone failed or didn't come through, but then in the end you found out differently, to try to illustrate the point like that, see if the Lord would remind you of something, and try to present it in those ways. So again, I would emphasize God is absolutely trustworthy and he's absolutely faithful. We don't always know why our prayers aren't fully answered, but you watch. If you keep praying and loving the Lord, you'll watch and see his prayers answered. And when you don't see an answer, that's a question we can ask Jesus when we see him. And just leave it like that. There's a book that Richard Wurmbrand put out many years ago. I got to tell him that I thought it was a fabulous book. I think it's called From the Lips of Children. I imagine it's still in print. Richard Wurmbrand, Wurmbrand, From the Lips of Children, where he compiled just amazing little sayings and quotes from kids that were quite edifying and encouraging. So that's how I would approach it. I would try to encourage general confidence in the Lord and remind him of prayers that were answered and say, we just pray and then trust the Lord. And if we don't get all the answers now, he'll explain things to us later on. We just have to trust him. And I wouldn't modify my theology to try to meet him. But hey, Edward, I am out of time, but thank you for calling. And I'm gonna discuss this with some friends too and ask them with their little kids if they have any other answers they share, and maybe get back to it another day, because I think it's a very important question. Thank you for calling in, Edward, and may the Lord give you wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. I will take calls into the next hour if you want to get on now and hang on, because we'll be taking calls the next hour. Remember, we've got an amazing resource. It just came out. Day of Discovery, a wonderful TV ministry, recorded 2.5 hours of discussion and then archaeological, historical stuff in the land of Israel with Dr. Walter Kaiser, Dr. Daryl Bach, Dr. Michael Rodelnik, and yours truly, talking about Isaiah 53, the mysterious prophecy of Isaiah 53. 2.5 hours on one DVD, just $17, postage paid. Sit, watch it with your friends, show it at your church, share it with your non-believing friends. $17 postage paid, the Isaiah 53 DVD, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978 to order. My bottom line, if we can't trust God, who can we trust? If we can't put our trust in God to bring us to the place he wants us to be and cause us to fulfill the destiny he's put within us, then what is the purpose of life? Friends, I've got some news to share with you today that you will not believe. And we're also doing a special edition of You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers right here today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we are here to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Oh, yes, we are here to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord and to enlighten you and equip you and encourage you and challenge you to go deeper. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Yeah, no hype. I got some news you're not going to believe. I shared some earlier in the day, the first hour from Sweden. Maybe I'll share a bit more from Sweden, but I got some from Scotland. Oh, yeah. You don't want to miss this. Also, wrote an article last night, came out today. Do you support anyone but Obama? ? And the words anyone but Obama are in quotes. I'll share more of that article with you. It's on townhall.com. And any questions you have of any kind that you want to put to me that relate in any way to my areas of expertise on The Line of Fire, anything we've talked about here on The Line of Fire, by all means, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. E-question. This is from Everett. The word hutas, translated as this in Matthew 24:34, has been singled out by skeptics as proof that Jesus was mistaken about when he would return and therefore was not God. I understand that Ginea immediately following has the alternative meaning race as an explanation of the controversy. This race, meaning Jewish people. It's possible. It's unlikely. But it's possible. However, Spiros Zodiatis, the complete word study dictionary of the New Testament, also lists that as an alternative meaning from hutas. I've read others who agree. In the King James, a different word, tauta, is used in Matthew 23:36. The modern translations all use hutas there. Zodiatis defines tauta as meaning only this one. With use of different words in the King James Version, it could be more accurate in some areas, possibly this one. Is there a historical grammatical context that would allow or prevent the meaning that for hutas in the Matthew 24:34 passage? Thanks for your time. So here's the question. Matthew 24:34, after Jesus talks about various signs, various things that will happen, he says, truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away before all these things happen. And some have argued that they all had to happen before the second temple was destroyed. That's the generation he was speaking about. So in either all those things spiritually happened and there was some type of second coming or coming to the coming in power of the Lord, destruction of the temple, so on, that all happened before the second temple was destroyed. Or some have said that it refers to a future generation, the generation that's going to see Jesus return. But then how could he have said this generation, the generation that sees all these signs? The fact is the Greek here does use tauta, which, or hutas, and then in its form here, tauta, but the Greek is hutas. And he's speaking here, as I'm looking ahead in the right, as he's describing the generation that's going to see this using hutas, then again later, so it's aute here, so just ignore everything I said the last 10 seconds before that. The meaning of that, speaking of some other generation, no, I don't know where Spiros Zodiatis would have gotten that from in this context, with all respect to his Greek scholarship. It's pretty simple. He does say this generation. And he either means this generation that sees all these things happen will be the one that sees the destruction of the temple. And then after that, he begins to refer to his return. Or he's speaking of the generation, a still future generation, that will see all of these things unfold that have not yet unfolded. A future destruction of the temple and the return of Jesus. But either way, the word this should be kept as this.
God of light, hear our cry, send God by. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My joy, friends, to be with you today on The Line of Fire. We're doing a special edition of You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In the first hour, I read about some developments in Sweden. Sweden's new gender-neutral pronoun. Okay, this news has been out for a little while. Hen, so rather than saying he or she, it's hen, which is just neutral. But this is part of a comprehensive move among activists in Sweden to eliminate gender, to make the whole country gender-neutral. Okay, a little secret. God didn't make us gender-neutral. Oh, yeah. God didn't make us gender-neutral. So, here's more from this article. Today's hen champions, in other words, the gender-neutral champions, have a distinctly political agenda. For instance, one particular book, which advocates gender-neutral usage as much as possible, Children's Reader, is published by a publishing house named Olika, which means different or diverse. Olika only publishes books that challenge stereotypes and obsolete norms and traditions in the world of literature. Its titles include 100 possibilities instead of two. What are they talking about? 100 possibilities instead of two, meaning male, female. 100 possibilities. A book for adults who want to give children more opportunities in gender-stereotyped everyday life. And then another book, Once Upon a Time, there was a drawing book, the first gender-scrutinizing drawing book for children that challenges traditional and diminishing conceptions of girls and boys, men and women. But not everyone is keen on this political meddling with the Swedish language. In a recent interview for Vice magazine, John Gillio, again, I'm probably butchering these Swedish names, one of Sweden's most well-known authors, referred to proponents of hen, the gender-neutral pronoun, as feminist activists who want to destroy our language. Other critics believe it can be psychologically and socially damaging, especially for children. Elise Klesen, a columnist and a former equality expert at the Swedish Confederation of Professions, has said that young children can become confused by the suggestion that there is a third in between gender at a time when their brains and bodies are developing. Tell me about it. Come on. Adults should not interrupt children's discovery of their gender and sexuality, argues Klesen. She told the Swedish Daily News, that gender ideologues have managed to change the curriculum to establish that schools should actively counter gender roles. Klesen might have a point. The Swedish school system has wholeheartedly and probably too quickly and eagerly embraced this new agenda. Last fall, 200 teachers attended a major government-sponsored conference discussing how to avoid traditional gender patterns. Friends, I'm telling you, gender is the enemy. This is where gay activism is going to go. Oh, you can't tell. It's where it's going and where it's going to go. Watch and see. Oh, yeah, several streams converge, including radical feminism, but just watch and see where this goes. And the push to accept transgenderism, watch and see where it goes. You can have all the compassion in the world on those struggling, but do not move an inch in terms of fundamental gender roles. 866-34-TRUTH. Ron in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yeah, this is Ron from Brooklyn. And,
yes, sir.
We have four children, and the daughters came first and the sons came after. Now, we never had to say to our daughters, woman up. But when our sons came along, we did have to say on occasion, man up. What's going on here? I believe in the biblical, sexes, but, you know, I find it kind of odd that every man has to fight to become a man, so to speak. What's going on?
What do you think is going on, Ron?
I have no idea, but some days I just get tired of it.
Yeah, you know? I think one issue, Ron, is that there is a mentality in much of the society against masculinity and against manhood. Now, look, we understand there is the the machismo thing and the denigration of women, the exaltation of men in a culture that we don't hold to. But there is absolutely something to maleness and femaleness. We even call it biblical. Come on, it's just the way we are, men and women, period. And yes, the way God intended it. So it's almost just a whole push in the society where for men to be men is almost discouraged. But then in certain ways, for women to be women, it just means become some sex object in the front of a magazine cover. So what we need to do is really model these things in our homes every way we know how. Model these things in our homes.
But see, my wife not only calls our sons to man up every once in a blue moon, she calls me to man up.
Well, good for her. Good for her. And you do it, man, and lead the way. And that'll help your kids to follow the example. But thanks, Ron, for calling up. Let men be men and women be women. Oh, it may take different forms. It may not always look the same. But we're talking about distinctions, and we're talking about the fact that God did wire us differently. You do not have to be a biologist with a PhD in biology to know that God made us differently for a purpose. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me read the beginning of my article. Do you support, quote, anyone but Obama? And then I want to get to some calls regarding Mormonism, Mitt Romney. Do you support, quote, anyone but Obama? So here's who I'm writing this article to. And if this does not fit you, just listen in a more detached way. Let's assume that you stridently oppose the re-election of President Obama, but you were just not sold on Governor Romney, the presumptive Republican candidate. Do you vote for Romney, since, quote, anyone is better than Obama? Or do you chart a very different course, even sacrificing this election for the long-term sake of the country? Obama's critics would tell us that we simply cannot afford four more years of his presidency, that his policies are destroying the very fabric of what makes America great, that he's undermining the economy, weakening the military, hurting us internationally, waging war against the church, and attacking our moral family values. Four more years of an Obama presidency would also mean the selection of at least one, if not two or even three, new Supreme Court justices, which would have major implications for decades to come. The choice, then, for many is simple. I'm voting for anyone but Obama. The only thing that matters is getting him out. Conservative critics of Governor Romney would say, yes, it's true that we need to defeat Obama, but there's hardly any difference between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, and a vote for Romney is not a vote for change. Amy Contrada, founder of Mass Resistance, is one of Romney's staunchest critics, documenting her concerns in meticulous detail in her 600-plus page book, Mitt Romney's Deception. Needless to say, this does not appear to have been on Ann Coulter's reading list. The book's subtitle says it all, speaking of his, Romney's stealth promotion of gay rights and gay marriage in Massachusetts. Gay activists recently reported with approval that Richard Grenell, an openly gay former official in the administration of President George W. Bush, has been tapped to serve as a spokesman for Mitt Romney's presidential campaign on issues pertaining to national security and foreign policy. Conservative author Greg Jackson states that Romney is responsible for the $50 copay taxpayer-funded abortion and calls him the most uber-leftist governor in our nation's history. And then, of course, there's the issue of Romney care. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, would not commit to supporting Governor Romney during an April 11th appearance on MSNBC. Well, Orthodox Jewish Rabbi Yehuda Levin has recently argued that it is far more acceptable religiously, spiritually, and morally not to vote for Romney and have a loyal opposition, God willing, in the Senate and in the House. Not surprisingly, Greg Jackson is among an increasing number of conservatives who are asking, time for Christians and conservatives to break ranks with the GOP? Could it be? Could it be time to send a loud message to the Republican establishment? Could it be time for a third party to form with its sights set on future elections? Let's not forget that the Republican Party was once the new kid on the block. For the anyone but Obama camp, this kind of reasoning is as foolhardy as it is off limits. In four more years, they would argue, America will be unrecognizable and broken beyond the point of recovery, at least for the immediate future. And they would be quick to remind us Obama himself told President Medvedev of Russia that in his next term, he'll have more flexibility. Chilling prospect, to be sure. What about those Supreme Court justices Obama will appoint? On the other hand, if America needs a radical course correction, what's the use of electing another status quo or worse president? If, in fact, that's what Romney would be. If the political establishment is a big part, the biggest part of the problem, then the only way to bring about real change is to challenge the establishment or to work outside the establishment. If not now, then when? The question becomes even more acute when it comes to conservative Christians, especially the large block of evangelicals who vote Republican. Year after year and election cycle after election cycle, we are promised the moon by the latest savior candidate, only to be disappointed 4 years later. And as people of faith, when we see ongoing moral decline in our nation, the fault, we'd be quick to add, of the evil Democrats, we pray like crazy for revival and reformation, only to take our foot off the gas once the latest and greatest Republican becomes president. Perhaps we conservative Christians need the bottom to drop out before we really get serious? Perhaps we need the worst-case scenario to unfold before we realize that the kind of change we desire will not come from the White House or the Congress as much as it will come through each of us living out our faith without compromise or shame? I understand that talk like this is completely sacrilegious in most conservative circles, but it's talk that needs to take place.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yikes, just spotted this. Maybe it's been out for a few hours. A Brazilian actor has died after accidentally hanging himself while playing Judas in an Easter Passion play. My. That's tragic. Shocker. 27 years old, Thiago Klimek enacting the suicide of Judas during the performance on Good Friday in the city of Itarare. The actor was hanging for 4 minutes before fellow performers realized something was wrong. Wild, boy. 866-34-TRUTH. May God's mercy be extended to the man's family. 866-348-7884. I've got some shocking news I'm going to share with you. From Scotland in a little while. I've got some e-questions I'm going to get to, as well as your calls. I have said that my biggest issues with Mr. Romney are not over his Mormonism, but over his political history. That's what gives me greatest pause for thought. 866-34-TRUTH. In that light, we've had some discussion about Mormonism in the last hour, and I want to get to one more call on this. Baker in Brooklyn, thank you for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Hi, Dr. Brown. I heard the last two callers on the your first program. But my question is, I differ with your response, because you told the last two callers that they shouldn't vote for somebody based on their religious belief. And as a Christian, I differ with that. Because I believe that we as Christians, we are supposed to look at a person's background, religious background. Because the Bible clearly states, what part does light have with darkness? Mm-hmm. And we know, and people know, that the Mormonism are a cult, and they really do not believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that they can become gods, and Jesus Christ became a god. And I have a problem with that. And I think that Christians are supposed to really vote the conscience and search scripture and see what God speaks about these things. Because if you look even in the Bible, when you read about kings and stuff like that, there were good kings and there were bad kings. And those who was in position did bad in the eyes of the Lord, Israel was paying for it. And I think as Romney going into that White House, as I say, I believe when he goes in there, being as his religious background, he's going in there with a religious spirit, because he do not believe in Jesus Christ. And there's only one God.
So let me just ask one question. First, I want to encourage you to act on your conscience. The last thing I want to do is debate that with you, okay? But the point I was making, I said that I want to see how this person lives their faith out, and that if I see someone professing faith in Jesus, but I don't see any evidence of it in their lives, and I see someone else that is not professing faith, but is standing for morality and certain things and always has, I would rather vote for that person because I'm looking at their track record. Now, the ideal for me is someone who is a committed believer and who has a solid track record of morality and righteousness and justice and character and governing ability. But if someone, I just want to understand your perspective, because like I said, I don't want to debate your own conviction here, and I respect that. But if someone says all the right words and they profess Jesus, they quote scripture and all this, but they come down on the wrong side of major moral issues and issues of justice, would you vote for that person?
No, and I'm not going to vote for somebody who don't believe in Jesus Christ in any case. And
okay,
I know where
it.
My conscience is.
That's totally clear. Like I said, the last thing I want to do is dispute that, and I respect that. I respect where you're coming from, even though
I know where my conscience is too, because I know what I believe in and whom I believe and who is my God.
Right, all clear. If this was a matter of ministry, then of course we don't hesitate. The only people that minister and that we associate with in ministry and minister together with are fellow believers walking in the light. When I look at elected officials, I do see that God raises up different leaders for different purposes, that authority comes from him, and that Paul could even say the Roman emperor was an appointed authority by God, even though he was an absolute godless person. So when I'm looking at elected officials, I would have a different perspective. But like I said, no desire to debate that with you, and thank you for expressing your views clearly. I'm sure many listeners agree with you. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. We've discussed that different times on the air, how a candidate's religious beliefs would affect you and affect your voting. And like I said, the last thing I'm going to do is argue with someone about their own conscience there. Nice article from Mark, who's wondering if I'm Catholic or part of a denomination. I do get asked this periodically by people who've converted to Catholicism, and they ask me, am I Catholic? No, I'm not. And they want to know why. In other words, they think I'm smart or I'm reasonable or I've been on a certain journey, so I should logically be Catholic. I appreciate that. But I'm not Catholic for reasons similar to why I'm not a traditional Jew, although I recognize Catholic brothers and sisters in the Lord. I see the authority of Scripture, and I do not see the authority of tradition. And when I see tradition contradicting Scripture, I have to go with Scripture. And I see nowhere within Scripture that it tells me that there will be an ongoing chain of church tradition any more than it tells me there would be an ongoing chain of rabbinic tradition that I am to follow and to submit to. So because of that, and quite a number of other reasons, major differences I have with areas of Catholic doctrine and teaching, I could not in good conscience be a Catholic. But I don't bring this up all the time because the purpose of this show is not to be a Catholic bashing show. I do not have a burden or calling to be bashing Catholics, but calling followers of Jesus to lay their lives down for the gospel and for a dying world. And those that are in religious systems, be it Protestant, be it Catholic, be it Greek Orthodox, be it anything else, and know Jesus, wonderful. We're brothers and sisters. And those who are in organizations or outside of them who don't know Jesus, we're not brothers and sisters. He's the one you need to know and follow. To the extent the system you're in helps you with your walk, wonderful. I am part of a congregation and part of the larger body of Jesus the Messiah, and our congregation has planted many other works through our grads, so it is a small movement in that sense, but I'm not part of a particular denomination, although identified as part of the larger Messianic Jewish world as well. But thank you, Mark, for the question. May the Lord continue to guide you on your journey. This week, we've got a phenomenal resource. All of the TV shows, 4 half-hour shows, plus an additional half-hour of material on historical and archaeological background, and Isaiah 53, produced by the Day of Discovery. 4 scholars, we got together for a day, wonderful discussion about Isaiah 53, 2.5 hours on one DVD, $17 postage paid. How do you like that? Isaiah 53, Mysterious Prophecy, the Day of Discovery TV shows, 4 of us, top scholars, joining together, a wonderful tool for you and your unsaved friends. 1-800-278-9978 to order. Get a few if you like. 1-800-278-9978. Get the Day of Discovery, Isaiah 53 DVD today. 1-800-278-9978. Back with amazing news.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is a joy to be with you today on the line of fire. I've got some shocking, you gotta be kidding me kind of news. And we're doing a special edition of You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers, where I'm answering your e-questions and taking your phone calls on any subject that relates to any areas of expertise that I have. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Terry had asked the question, Dr. Brown, I'm 47 years old. I'd like to pursue online Bible degrees. Do I have any recommendations? Terry, we have some classes with FIRE that you can take online with FIRE School of Ministry, but only a few right now, not for a full-blown degree. There are lots of schools that have degrees, seminary, Bible college, ministry school, and it's really hard to recommend anyone in particular. I have no clue what your background is, interests are. So I just encourage you to, as I'm looking at your email here, though, it appears that you're with NASA, so I would imagine you are a thinking 47-year-old man. I'd really encourage you to search online for the various programs that seminaries, Bible college, ministry schools have. And then if you'd like us to weigh in, you can say, I'm looking at this, here are my goals. What do you recommend? We might be able to help you. But you can always take our online classes. They're inexpensive. They're free for our torchbearers, our monthly supporters. And even though it won't get you a full degree at this point, you'll do that regardless of what else you do. Sorry, I can't be of more help. But there's so many things out there. I'm not on top of all of them. And then again, it all depends on your own goals, your background. It's like saying, hey, I'm thinking of going to college. Where should I go if you follow me there? All right. Before I go to the phones, are you ready? This is from Pink News. The Gay Police Association in Scotland, excuse me, and UNISON, that's UNISON, an acronym, have expressed concern over an offer to the police forces of Scotland of free Bibles branded with each one's badge. Okay, now hang on. The Gay Police Association in Scotland and UNISON have expressed concern over an offer to the police forces of Scotland of free Bibles branded with each one's badge. Why would they be against giving out free Bibles? It's because they should not endorse a book containing text which condemns homosexuality. Ban the Bible, or at least don't allow it to be given out to policemen, brand it with their badge. Wouldn't that be wonderful for each police officer? Here's your personalized Bible. Here's your badge. Brand it right on that Bible. That's yours, your distinct Bible. No. Should not endorse. The police should not endorse a book, just quote, containing text which condemns homosexuality. Ahead of an amalgamation of the police forces with Scotland, Gideon's International has offered commemorative editions of the New Testament Psalms to the Scottish forces for them to offer to their employees. John Knox, as we say, would be turning over in his grave or probably preaching again or in heaven where he is with the Lord, saying, God, would you send me back to Scotland one more time? The John Knox who said, give me Scotland or I die. And help lead a reformation movement there. Probably asking for the chance. May God raise up 1,000 John Knoxes in Scotland. The GPA said forces should not endorse the text themselves, but direct Gideons to the Christian Police Association or allow them to distribute the Bibles themselves. So they're not saying you can't have them, but police shouldn't endorse them. Gideon's International, which had just been distributing free Bibles for over 100 years, wrote to 8 forces chief constables offering the text in dark blue, the colored prints for police officers and other emergency services. Gay Police Association says no way should the police formally endorse a book containing text which condemns homosexuality. God help Scotland.
Fire we please. Stand in the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Hey, you know, things that happen in Scotland, things that happen in England, things happening in Sweden, things happening in Canada, it's just reflection on similar things happening in America or similar things about to happen in America. Therefore, do not back down. Do not hold back. Do not listen to the lies that say, oh, got to be very, very quiet, very, very wise. You know, it's so wild. Before we're saved, man, we're getting pushed by the enemy, by the forces of darkness. You know, I was doing drugs and all this stuff. Push, be bold, be yourself, be proud, be out, you know, live it out. And then you get saved, that same voice comes and says, be quiet, be very wise. Oh, yeah, be wise and use compassion, but speak the truth in love and do not back down. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on this Monday edition of The Line of Fire. Shirley in Atlanta, thanks for
Michael
calling
Brown,
The Line of Fire.
Michael Brown, I'm being wise, and let me tell you, I'm not going to repeat what I heard on the radio last night, because I do know one of the drone activities is to, and just hold your breath for a moment. The FCC, the radio, will actually spit out a news bulletin just for you. If you're an activist, if you're a high-profile Christian, whatever, and you'll hear this thing and you'll go, I just tell your screener. I said, have you heard anything about in Israel? They now are accepting application for gay rabbis.
Yeah, the conservative.
That's what I heard on WSB radio last night on the news.
No, it's
now,
the truth,
again,
Shirley. The conservative movement. This is they're pretty liberal. The conservative movement in Israel has now said that they will be ordaining gay rabbis in Israel. That's what conservative Jews have said there. And, of course, the Orthodox will completely, utterly reject them and say this is not even Judaism. But, yes,
absolutely.
You heard it. You heard it correctly. In Israel, God help Israel.
Well, God is helping Israel, and I got to tell you, it is just it's such a pitiful thing. And, you know, and my take has been for a long, long time. I got to tell you, Dr. Brown, that I realize, and I think you do too, that the Jewish people have some situations that other people do not have. And that is one of the things is the fact that sex is a big part of their lives that many people do not know how to handle. And I got to tell you that it is a problem. Because they do not have the Spirit of the Living God working in them, and just to kind of make it light, one of the cooling things about life is when you're a born again Christian is that sexual lust doesn't take you over, and it's so spiritual that and I wish my Jewish brothers and sisters would know this. It is a very spiritual problem. And the Spirit of the Living God, it's not that any of us, all of us who have been out here in the world, we've been somewhat plagued with that. But
yeah,
since the Lord has come into my life, I don't have, and I'm sure there are many testimonies of people who can attest that after the Lord comes into your life, you do not have that problem anymore.
Yeah, I mean, God does bring about radical change in us, surely. And to the extent we keep yielding to Him and then we don't play games, and we don't open up doors to the past or to the present with temptation, to that extent, we can remain strong and steadfast. And, you know, the issues of sexual temptation, yeah, it's not a Jewish problem. It's a universal problem. Within Judaism, though, sexuality is celebrated as opposed to denigrated as some evil, bad thing. But then it's supposed to be subjugated to within certain times of the month for sexual activity within the home and so on. And it's also going to lead naturally to more childbirth. But Shirley, thanks for calling. Yeah, for those who idealize modern Israel, like, oh, the Jews, oh, Israel, Jewish people need Jesus. Jewish people need Jesus, Yeshua. And thank God for religious Jews who seek to live very moral lives and conduct themselves based on a high ethic and follow Torah statutes. But every one of us, we fall short. We need mercy. We need salvation. And then many are not just falling short. They are blatantly sinning in the Jewish world and in the Gentile world. Kelly in Ogden, Utah, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm trying to find a quiet place. I'm in Walmart. Thank goodness I could hear you while I was on my phone because it's 88 degrees here in the car. Anyway, I grew up Mormon, and when they're talking about Mitt Romney being a Christian, when I was raised, and I'm 61 now, we were told we are not Christian. We are LDS. We are the Latter-day Saints. And so now all of a sudden they're Christian. And another point is, if Mitt Romney is a Christian, well, he wouldn't believe in Satan. I mean, they believe that he's the spirit brother of Jesus. So are you with God or are you not with God? So are you going to vote for somebody who's with God and maybe has an issue, or somebody who's not with God? Everybody here that I know is voting for Mitt Romney because they're not voting for him, they're voting against Obama. And we really do need to do something about finding somebody we can vote for.
Yeah, Kelly, I wrote an article. It's on townhall.com. Folks can read it today. It's called, Do You Support, Quote, Anyone But Obama? And it's written to those who do not want to see Mr. Obama reelected. They strongly oppose him. But they don't buy the anyone but Obama line. In other words, they're not sold on Governor Romney for a number of issues. So the question is, what do we do? I just read the article earlier in the program, but you can read it on townhall.com. Do we just work like one rabbi says on those that are going to be in Congress and in both houses of Congress? Is that where we put our effort? Do we break away and form a third party to send a message to the Republican establishment?
Oh, yeah.
Do we, you know, for the future elections, does the church need four terrible years before it finally wakes up and prays?
I think they do.
Those are all issues that I raise in the article, Do You Support, Quote, Anyone But Obama? And again, it's written for those that do not want to see him reelected but are not happy with Governor Romney. One very quick thing. Yeah, one very quick thing. I wrote an article some months back called Do Mormons Believe Christianity is a Cult? I turned the question around to say, hey, look, don't just ask, is Mormonism a cult? But ask, what does really hardcore Mormonism believe about the Christians? And so you're saying when you were raised as a Mormon, you were not told there's a big, big church out there and we just have our own special piece of the puzzle. You were told you were the true church and no one else was.
Right. We were not Christian. Do not say you're Christian.
Right. Now, why do you think that's changed, that Mormons will identify themselves as Christians?
Just like everything else, Mormonism changes with the times daily. Whatever
right,
is the right thing to do, that's what they do. And they're so blinded here. You should have gone to the caucus. It sounded like I hate to say that, but it was like a Stepford caucus. All of us who went to them, we went to the Republican because there's nothing else to go to. Mm. And they were just stood up there, said the same things, like they were all in church, saying their testimony. It was just unbelievable.
Wow.
It was just unbelievable. And we, from all over the place, all of us who went, who are not Mormon, there's the only place you can go. And it's like, okay, you guys say this, and we were not welcomed. We're not Mormons in our little community. And it was just, it was bizarre. It was frightening.
Well, let's friends, yeah, friends listening around the country, let's pray for those living in Utah in particular, that there'd be
Please.
An outpouring of the Spirit. I'm sure there are many Mormons who are searching and seeking that God wants to visit, open their eyes to the gospel. Thanks for calling, Kelly.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. And read my article when you get a chance. Do you support
I
anyone but Obama on townhall.com? All right, Art in Duluth, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey there, Dr. Brown. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, thanks.
I guess a couple of things I wanted to mention to you. I'm a former Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking about some things of Catholicism, and I relate to that. That's when I started reading the Bible for myself. That's when I began to see that there were discrepancies with the Catholic Church, and that's why I left.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I did while I was studying my Strong's Concordance in the Greek section, I studied both the Hebrew and the Greek. I came across the word tradition, and I know mm-hmm. being Messianic Jewish, I know you're familiar with gematria.
Right.
I did
and
the gematria.
Just for the sake of our listeners, that's where, for example, the Hebrew language, the letters of the alphabet are also used for numbers. So the first letter Aleph is 1, the second Beit is 2, Gimel is 3, Dalet is 4. So gematria will look at numerical values of words. For example, David, which is Dalet, Vav, Dalet, equals 14. So it's 4, 6, 4 equals 14. And you notice in Matthew's genealogy, he breaks things down into three groups of 14 because Jesus, Yeshua, is the son of David. Many say that was done intentionally. Hey, tell you what, stay right there, Art. We've got a break. So I want to hear your question about gematria and tradition. And I'm going to try to get to Karen and Bill. But Karen, I definitely need to talk to you today about, from what I see here, a family game sold at Target in the kids section with two dads on the box. Yeah, I want to hear from Karen. Stay with us. Bill, I'm going to try to get you too.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, straight back to the phones here on the Line of Fire, continuing my conversation with Art in Duluth, Georgia. All right, back to your gematria Bible numeric question.
Well, the scripture that really comes to mind right now is the one where the Lord would say to the unbelieving Jews, "You have made void the word of God through or by your traditions, following the traditions of men." And that's what the world is heavily steeped in. So I think gematria in the Greek language for the word tradition. The first letter in Greek is obviously alpha, which has a numerical value of 1. Omega has a numerical value of 800. So alpha, omega, 1-800. And I'll share with folks from time to time, salvation in Yeshua, Jesus, is toll-free, 1-800. He's the Alpha and the Omega.
All right, so the ancient Greek language coupled with modern area codes in America. All right, I don't mind using that as a fun way to convey the message as opposed to the original intent. Go ahead.
And even with the English letters, the letters have numerical values as well. A is 1 and Z is 26. I did the gematria for America, and the gematria for America is 50.
Okay.
Sounds like 50 states, doesn't it?
All right. Hey, well,
so
tell you what.
Here's what I wanted to share with you. With the word tradition, the gematria for tradition is 666.
So you're saying the Greek word paradosis comes to 666?
Paradosis is 666, yes.
All right, tell you what, I'll check that, but I never looked at Greek numeric values like that, but I'll check it out. Hey, Art, thanks for the call. And there you got it, 1-800, toll-free. But surrender will cost you your entire life, right? Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Karen, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So what happened to you? You saw a family game sold in the kids section in Target? Tell us about this.
Okay, last night I went to the Target Greatland in Apex, North Carolina. I was in the toy section on the aisle with the games. On one side of that game aisle was Mother Goose and the Little Engine That Could, everything geared towards small children. On the other side of that very aisle were games like Sorry, Parcheesi, et cetera. But lo and behold, there was this game there called The Modern Family. I don't watch television, but apparently it's a hit TV show because it's set on the cover of the box, hit TV show. There were a couple of different families, and there was a family, two men and a little girl. And then right next to that was another game called Jersey City with a couple of women on the cover with some men who were scantily dressed. 20 years ago, you would have thought this woman was like a prostitute because of the way she was dressed. So I just felt like I was in a mild state of shock. And I thought to myself in my spirit, I cannot shop here. So I went to the manager, who looked like he was in his early 30s, and I said, "I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I just have to tell you, this is why I can't shop here." So I took him to the aisle, and I showed him the board games. I said, "You know, you're here right now because you had a mother and a father. And not everybody embraces this. And this is being crammed down our throats, and I really don't think this is appropriate to have here, right across from Mother Goose and the Little Engine That Could."
Right.
And he said, "Well, thanks for telling me," and he kind of walked away. I mean, he didn't say anything like, well, you could call corporate or anything. He just kind of, thanks for telling me, and walked away. And I walked out and went to Walmart, and there wasn't this game at Walmart, so I did my shopping there.
All right. Hey, Karen, let me encourage you, though, to find out who the store manager is. There's got to be some senior person there at Target. And I want to encourage everyone listening to contact Target and to tell them that you find these covers of these games, Jersey City, the prostitute-looking women on the cover of that game, as described by Karen, haven't seen either of these, and Modern Family, and here's two dads. Look, North Carolina, it is the law here that marriage is the union of one man, one woman, and that's why May 8th, we need everyone in North Carolina. Don't be complacent. Don't take it for granted. Don't think we don't have to worry about this. You need to get out and vote for the marriage amendment. Vote yes for marriage in North Carolina. Karen, if these things will happen, if we don't raise our voices and speak, and if we're just ho-hum, this is a children's section, like you said, next to Mother Goose. There's no business for these things to be there. Thank you for doing what you've done. I encourage you to take it one step further, and everybody, you got Targets all over America. Go in, see if these games are there, and then bring them to the attention of folks there, and if you don't get a response, write a letter. Let us do what is right. Otherwise, we only have ourselves to blame. Thanks, Karen, and I'm glad to hear that Walmart did not have these out. God bless you. Look, friends, you say, well, we're not going to make it. We're going to take over. Can we speak up? Here, let's make it extreme, even more extreme. What if everybody there is naked? You got some porno game. No, okay. Well, why is that? In other words, how far do we have to go before we speak up? The only reason things are where they are today is because we don't speak up. And normally it only takes a few people raising their concerns in a right way to bring about change. And we're talking about a children's section in a store. And I've read about Jersey City enough to know that's anything but a little children's game. The characters in it, the lewdness of it, the debauchery of it. I don't know what the show's about, basically, but I just, you know, hear the junk about it. And then the Modern Family, if it's got, okay, here are two dads and with their daughter. Hey, if you've got two men with a daughter, that's ultimately between them and God of what they're doing, if they can legally adopt in their state or whatever. To me, it's a crime against the daughter. I should say not a crime. It is a terrible disservice to the daughter to say that she will not have a mother. Come on, how do you do that to a girl? By choice, she will not have a mother. But now, and then if it's a sitcom and people watch it on TV, well, that's the state of TV, and read more and A Queer Thing Happened to America about Hollywood's celebration of queer. But to have it on a cover of a game for little kids to go buy and get, completely, totally out of place. Friends, we have an amazing resource all this week. The sooner you get it, the sooner you can watch it. Two and a half hours of discussion. Dr. Walt Kaiser, Dr. Mike Redelink, Dr. Daryl Bach, myself, biblical scholars getting into Isaiah 53. 2.5 hours. Also, footage from Israel and archaeological historical background. You'll sit there and go, wow, wow, wow. Amazing discussion, insights put together in a wonderful quality way by the Day of Discovery TV broadcast. Only $17 postage paid for the DVD. So call to order. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. 2.5 hours on DVD, write to AskDrBrown.org online. Click on the Line of Fire. My bottom line, if we don't speak up, if we don't stand up, we don't speak out, if we don't do what is right, if things degenerate around us, we have ourselves to blame.